Life is filled with tough choices. During World War II, Winston Churchill was forced to make a very painful choice. British Secret Service had broken the Nazi code. Germans were going to bomb Coventry. He had two alternatives. The first would be to evacuate the citizens of Coventry and save hundreds of lives, but yet reveal to the Germans that they had broken the code. Or take no action, which would cause the deaths of hundreds of people, keep the information flowing, and perhaps save many, many more lives. Winston Churchill chose the latter. ...2020 hindsight makes choices easy, but we don't have that opportunity always. We're not that much different a shape. The Hebrews had a choice also. During Jeremiah's time, the kingdom was divided. And this is what we know about the kingdom. There are three revivals and four declines. A revival is when they would restore worship in the temple. Israel would follow God. They would repent from their sins. It was during this revival that the book of the law was found. The last revival, there were three revivals. The last revival was King Josiah. He found the book of the law. And then the decline after King Josiah would lead people directly into Babylonian captivity. It was during the last decline that the prophet Jeremiah was called by God. That was during his ministry. He warned of destruction if people did not change. In 612, which is around the time, just toward the end of Josiah's reign, Nineveh fell. The Assyrian Empire was destroyed, and Babylon was the major power. Egypt was gaining in strength. And the Jews were split between two choices. They could be absorbed by Egypt, or they could submit to Babylon and remain a nation state with Babylon, but they would be subject to Babylon. And the Jewish people thought that that was their only choice. And then God sent Jeremiah with another choice, one that they didn't think of. Many times there are more options than at first present themselves. There's a lot of times people think there's only an A and a B choice. Either I live in misery with this person or I get a divorce. Either I go bankrupt or I run away. Sometimes there isn't even a choice. There are people that say, I have no choice. I have to end it all now. Satan, who is the father of lies, strives to limit our choices. Satan wants us not to believe in all the options that we have. He wants us to be so limited that we never, ever see Christ. He is never the choice. In many ways, Satan wants us to believe, well, I don't have time for church. I don't have time for Christ. I don't have time to consider what God wants. And he convinces us that we can handle it on our own. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. Simple verses. Jeremiah divides people into two categories, the cursed and the blessed. Now, this morning, we're going to look in our bulletins. We have blanks to fill out, but we're not going to fill those out right away. We're going to fill them out a little bit later because we just want to look at the blessing and the curse. Those who were cursed he describes in verses 5 and 6 of Jeremiah 17. This is what the Lord says: cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a brush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. This is the common thinking today. Trust in man. We have all the answers. All we have to do is discover them. How many times have we heard that all the answers are within you? And there's a lot of counseling philosophies believe it or not, there are people that are getting paid. You go to them and all they're paid to do is to ask you what you think. I'm having this trouble. Well, what do you think you ought to do? You know what? If I already knew what I was supposed to do, I wouldn't need you. But there's a lot of people, a lot of counseling, a lot of pressures, because the basic belief is that all the answers that you ever need is already within inside you, and all you have to do is let them come out. Let them loose. I will tell you, that is a bunch of hooey. There's an idea that there's nothing that man can't do. You know, there's the idea, and this is the same kind of idea that says we can't cut down trees because there's cures to every form known to man in the jungles. Really? How do we know that? We're guessing. For all we know, the cure is after we wipe out the trees and we find it in the ground. But there's a belief out there that says we have all the answers. All the answers are in this place. And it's almost a belief that says all the answers are somewhere else other than God. And that is the nature of the people who trust in man. And that is the nature of the people who are cursed. And those who trust in people will be disappointed, because people can't do what God does. Man cannot really satisfy us, but God can. Whose heart turns away from the Lord. All we need to do is to get away from ourselves. There's a lot of people that turn their hearts away from God. They don't believe that God has the answer for them. As a result, they are blind to the prosperity around them. I like the old story about the couple that died of thirst in the desert, in the Arizona desert, between two cactuses filled with water. God is everywhere. He is the living water, and still people are dying of thirst. They are cursed. No matter how close they come to the truth, they never quite reach it because they turn away from the Lord. Those who are blessed, Jeremiah describes a little different. In verses 7 and 8, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Notice the contrast between the cursed and the blessed. It's very pronounced. Those who trust put confidence in the Lord and are not only satisfied, they are confident. Like a tree planted by water, a person who trusts in the Lord finds himself in the right place. And when you're in the right place, bring on the heat. Bring it on. But I tell you what, when you're in the wrong place, a little bit of change of temperature can ruin you. the difference between the cursed and the blessed. When you are blessed by God and you are in the right place, then you are satisfied. You are prepared to endure the heat, to endure the trials that this world brings. That is being blessed. When you're in the right place, there's nothing that will stop you. It really is a blessing to be satisfied and to be confident in that. And so it's down to this. And it's this simple. God wants us to choose what kind of people we are. He wants us to decide whether we're going to be on the cursed side or the blessed side. He desires us to make a wise choice and be on the blessed side. And when people choose not to make the choice, they end up on the cursed side. But he wants us to choose blessing over curses. So that you, well, let's look at Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. God wants us to choose this. So here we go. How do we choose life? This is the root of every struggle that we have. The answer to this question is perhaps the most vital question we can ask ourselves when it comes to our relationship with God. How do I choose life? How do I go from being cursed to being blessed? What is the difference between the cursed and the blessed? And how do we get there? Number one, in your bulletins, we're ready to fill out the blanks. Number one, determine what your treasure is. This isn't working. There we go. Determine what your treasure is. Jesus taught us to store treasures in heaven. In Matthew chapter verses 20 and 21, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Something interesting. You know, we all know that we can't take it with us, so the treasure that Jesus is talking about is not found here on earth. It isn't material things that we can take with us to heaven. And Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasures. Do this thing. Deuteronomy 7:25 says, the images of their God, of their gods, you are to burn in the fire. Do not covet the silver and gold on them, and do not take it for yourselves, or you will be ensnared by it, for it is detestable in the sight, detestable to the Lord your God. The only treasure that is really good for us are good works. The things that we treasure is our relationship with God. It's what we're created for, good works. And it's not what we think is good. It is what God thinks is good. And it's not necessarily really our treasure. It's what God treasures, what he values as important. So we need to decide where your treasure is. What do you hold as important? Because that thing that you hold as important, that's where your heart will be. That's where your interest will be. That is what will lead your life, your treasure. And if your treasure is wealth, then wealth will lead your life. If your treasure is popularity, then popularity will lead your life. If your treasure is things, then those things will lead your life. If your treasure is God, then he will lead your life. Number two, decide whom you will trust. Many misunderstand the nature of trust. Some only trust the things that they have control of. And really, that's not trust at all. That's trusting in themselves, but that's really not trust. If they're not certain of the outcome, then they don't trust. And that is something that isn't really trust. The nature of trust itself demands risk. If there is no risk, then there really isn't any trust. Relying on someone or something beyond our control, that is trust. There are many people who have a counterfeit trust. They claim to trust in God as long as God will do everything they want him to do, as long as life goes well. But the moment that life gets rough, the moment that you hit a storm or a struggle and life gets very difficult, well, then they don't trust God anymore. Well, he let me down. He didn't do what I wanted him to do, and so I don't trust him. We are called to trust God through every situation, when things look good, but also when things look bleak. When things look at their worst, we still trust God. In Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. There's a lot of people that try to lean on their own understanding and trust God at the same time. And it can't be done. Because I will tell you this, God will always throw you a curve. Things will happen that you do not expect. And I'll tell you what, when you trust God, there's all kinds of things that happen that you do not expect. But they're good. So we need to learn to trust him. Number three, we need to commit to the truth. People look for truth in strange places. Some people look for truth in calculators. Numbers don't lie. Some people look for truth in dinosaur dung. There's a belief out there that if we can study dinosaur dung and figure out what they ate, that is the answer to the origin of life. Dinosaur dung. Some people just look at the back of their eyelids. They think all the truth that I ever need is within myself. The scripture that was read this morning, Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Wow. Jesus said that he is the truth. He did not say he contains the truth. Jesus said that he is the truth. And the difference between the two is it's not a matter of knowing what Jesus knows. It is a matter of knowing Jesus. And that's the difference between Jesus containing the truth, Jesus knowing the truth, and Jesus being the truth. Let me repeat that. It's not about knowing what he knows. It is about knowing him. In John 8, 31 and 32, to the Jews who had believed in Jesus, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The way in which we know Jesus is to listen to him and respond. Listen, respond. Listen, obey. Follow what he says. And the more that we allow his influence on our life, the more we obey him, the more that we will know the truth. And isn't that what a relationship is? Allowing God to influence our lives. I like that. The truth will set you free. Filmmaker Walt Disney was known for being ruthless in cutting out anything in his movies that did not follow the story's pacing. A guy by the name of Ward Kimball was an artist for Walt Disney, and he was telling the story about when he was drawing for Snow White. And he was one of the major artists for Snow White. And he recalls that he worked 240 days on a kitchen scene where the dwarves were making soup for Snow White. It was a 4.5 minute clip, 240 days. They said it was very comical and it was very funny and it was very good. But Walt Disney cut it out of the show. And he says, yes, it was funny and it was good and it was well written and it was well done, but it didn't match the pacing of the story. And so he cut it. And when I look at that, when the film of our lives is shown, I wonder about the good things that we need to cut out of our lives so that God can make great things happen. We have tough choices to make. And the choice is simply this. Determine the treasure. Decide the truth. Commit to trust. Commit to truth. Decide to trust. Treasure. Trust. Truth. How you deal with these three things will determine whether you're cursed or whether you're blessed. They will determine whether you are walking with God or walking away from Him. It's that simple. And I'll tell you again, God desires you to pick life, blessing, over death and curses. Jesus wants that from every one of us. And yeah, we've heard right and wrong all the time, but you've got to deal with this. And believe it or not, we live in a world where the people in church are confused about their treasure. The people in church are confused about who they really trust. They're confused about what the truth really is. I say, commit to these things. And let God lead you to His way. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I do thank you for your word. I thank you that we can trust you, that we can turn to you, that you never let us down, that you satisfy our needs. Lord, we know that, but help us to live that. Help us to be a people that follow you, that apply your word to our lives. Help us to be a people who know where our treasure is, to be a people who are trusting of your plan for their lives, a people who hunger and thirst for the truth, that we might become the people you want us to be, a people after your own heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.